working, helping you to get ready for this series that I'm teaching in the second week of it is I choose to rest in Him. You see, I can choose to put His praise and His thanksgiving on my lips. I can choose to put His words upon my lips. I can choose to see what He has asked me to see. I can choose to believe what He's asked me to believe. I can choose to trust Him because He loves me. And because of all of that, then I can choose to rest in Him. Now, what that means is that while I'm about my day and I'm doing what He's asked me to do and I'm working my career, I'm loving my family, I'm reaching out to all of you, I'm not sitting in my house doing nothing, but while I'm doing what needs to be done, I'm resting that He's at work in my life, performing His word in my life, and in spite of all the challenges that I face and everything that I see, I know that my God is alive and well, and He's on my side. He's not on their side. I think you need to turn me down a little, Beth. Turn me down a little. Praise the Lord. I choose. And what I'm sharing with you is you can choose. God has given you the right of choice. No one can take that away from you. No one can take away from you what you choose. I choose to love Him. I choose to rejoice in Him. I choose to worship Him. I choose to believe His word. I choose. You can't take that from me. No challenge can take that away from me. No circumstance can take that away from me. No devil can take that away from me. It's my choice. So whatever it is I'm facing as I'm walking down the road of life, no matter what comes my way, no matter how big it is, no matter how ugly it is, or how frightening it is, I can choose at that moment to rest in Him. And that's what this message is about. Our Father would have you to make the right choices in your everyday life. I choose today, waiting, to rest in Him. Right now. As children of God, we are not orphans. We're not without help. We're not without someone caring for us or providing for us. We're not without someone protecting us. We are not orphans. We are children of the Most High God. And He chose us on purpose. He loved us so much. He chose us to be holy and without fault before Him in love. He chose to adopt us. It was His choice. I choose to rest in Him. You see, we're not orphans. We are not without help or without support. We are not left to our own devices to make it in this life. Are you hearing me? Certainly, we are doers of the Word of God, and certainly we're taking steps and moving forward. But we're not alone, and we're not without power, we're not without ability, we're not without support, we're not without comfort and strength, we're not without wisdom and understanding. He's on our side. He's for us. He's our Father. And He's a good, good daddy. So I choose, because of all of the above, I choose today, right now, at this moment, to rest in Him. And what? Nothing can take that away from me, Randy. There's nothing out there that's so powerful, that's so ugly, that's so awful, that I cannot rest in Him. There's nothing so urgent that I can't rest in Him. There's nothing so demanding that I can't rest in Him. There's nothing that's required of me that I can't rest in Him. There is nothing that you're carrying today that He cannot unload onto Himself. Hello. We are loved by Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to trust in, rely on, lean on, and rest in Him. I'll say that again. He wants us to trust in, rely on, lean on, and rest in Him. I'll say it again. It brings Him great pleasure when we choose to trust Him, rely on, lean on and rest in Him. Hey, He loves it when you get Him involved. He loves it when you go to Him with what's bothering you and challenging you. He loves it when you go to Him and follow His counsel. He loves it when He's able to get intimately involved with your life. And He's a good, good daddy. He wants us to trust in, rely on, and lean on, and rest in Him and what He has promised. What He can do and who He is. He wants you to trust in, rely on, lean on, and rest in Him concerning what He has promised. What He can do and who He is. And He wants you, you know, I know this is true. I know it as a father. There's nothing that brings Him more joy than when you recognize and receive and accept your place in His heart. That when you recognize, receive, and accept your place in His heart. When you finally stand up and say, I know You love me. I know You're for me. I know You'll never fail me because You're that kind of a father. And I'm trusting in that. That's what I'm resting in. That's what I'm leaning on. Nothing brings your Heavenly Father any more joy than when His children do that. Hello? Oh, for the day that you guys get lit up. Okay, resting in our Father. Nothing brings any more joy. But resting in our Father is a choice. It has nothing to do with what you're facing. It has nothing to do with what's challenging you. It has nothing to do with your failures or your fears or your worries. It has everything to do with your choice. Resting in our Father is a choice to believe He cannot lie. It's a choice to believe you are loved by Him. It's a choice to roll all of your cares over onto Him. So, Daddy, I'm carrying a load. I'm carrying a load of fear. I'm carrying a load of anxiety. I'm being tormented day and night. And that's wearing me out, Daddy. So I'm just going to roll that over onto You, and I'm going to rest in You and believe that You're going to do what I asked You to do and what You promised to do. You know, Jess, some people can hang on to that stuff. They get to thinking they've got to hang on to it, like they've got to carry this load. They've got to bear it. It's up to them to get out from under this. No, it's up to us to roll it over onto Jesus. That's my choice. Resting in our Father is a choice to trust He is willing and able. You know, when you go to your Heavenly Father in prayer, it's not about trying to talk Him into doing something for you. You're not going in there hoping that maybe He's in a good mood. You're not going to prayer the Father just hoping that you've done enough good that He's willing to reach out to you. No, He loves you. He's for you. He cares about you. You are the apple. You are the center of His eye. His attention is on you. His heart is towards you. In fact, He told you that His heart and His eye would be over this temple forever. Perpetually is what He said. Perpetually. So our Father is pleased when we believe He is. Jesus asked His disciples, who do you say that I am? Say, I'm trying to help you here today. What are you saying? What are you saying about what Jesus has said? What are you saying about His relationship with you? What are you saying about what He's promised you? What are you saying about what He said He would do for you? What are you saying about your place in His heart? He said to His disciples, He asked them, who do men say that I am? And they gave Him all these answers. And then He said, well, who do you say that I am? That's so important. Who do you say he is? If we're talking about resting in him, we need to put a lot of confidence in what he said. Who do you say he is towards you and for you? Because too often we're saying what's facing us, what's challenging us, what we've encountered, how we failed, our guilt, our shame, our embarrassment. We belittle ourselves. We talk about all the labels that maybe someone else puts on us, but he put one on that says, adopted, loved, forgiven, holy, righteous. Amen? So we're talking about resting in him. It's so important to you that you ask yourself, who do I say he is? Well, Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, well, you know, you're blessed because you didn't get that from down here. You got that from your Father who's in heaven. And he says, upon that rock, now the rock that he's talking about, Leonard, is the revealed knowledge of who he is. I'll say that again. The rock that Jesus is building his church on is the revealed knowledge of who he is. And it says, the gates of hell will not prevail against them. The gates of hell cannot keep you from achieving what God would have you to do. The gates of hell cannot keep you from walking what he's called you to walk in. The gates of hell cannot keep you bound up and chained up and in bondage. They cannot do it. So he's asking you, who do you say that I am? This has to do with resting in him. Because when I'm going through life and I'm faced with all the what's trying to keep me from achieving what the Father would have me to achieve, I've got to lay back on him, lean on him, trust in him, and I've got to say who he is in my life. It pleases the Father when we believe he is, and it pleases the Father when we believe he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Say this with me, please. I believe that my Father rewards me because I diligently seek him. I believe he loves me. I believe he will never leave me. I believe he's performing his word in my life. I believe he's greater in me than he who is in the world. See, I can rest in him. I believe he's given me a sound mind. That means self-discipline, self-controlled mind. Amen? So greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Go to Isaiah chapter 30, verses 15 through 16. In Isaiah chapter 30, through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord is speaking to the nation of Israel. And he's telling them, you guys have made a big mistake because you went down to Egypt and asked for help instead of asking me. Now, I want to say to all of you that whatever it is you're trusting in, that becomes your strength. If you're trusting in the company you work for, that's your strength. If you're trusting in your college degree, that's your strength. If you're trusting in your income that you currently have, that's your strength. If you're trusting in your ability to work hard and consistently, that's your strength. If you're trusting in who you know and their ability to help you, then they become your strength. And there's nothing wrong with any of those except they'll never be enough. He told the nation of Israel in another place when they'd gone down to Egypt, he says, they're going to be like a stick that you're leaning on that breaks and jams you in your armpit. You know, they're just going to shatter. In fact, he said in this chapter, if you was to read it, that you're going to be shamed and embarrassed because you went to Egypt for help because they're not enough. So we need to ask ourselves, who am I trusting in? What am I leaning on? What am I relying on? You know, you can trust in your good health. I mentioned finances. You know, some people put their confidence in the size of their bank account, and there's nothing wrong with having the bank account, nothing wrong with having money in it. But how do you know that that can disappear? It's like that. You can trust in your health. You can trust in your wife or your husband. So, and all those are good. But we need to put our confidence and trust where it belongs. And whatever it is we're trusting in, that becomes our strength. So if we put our trust in our Heavenly Father, we put it in what He has said and what He has promised and what He's done for us in Jesus Christ, then there's nothing that's greater than what we're trusting in. That means that nothing can come along and kick our feet out from under us because we're trusting in the greatest. Okay, so in this text, Israel has gone to Egypt and asked for help instead of going to the Father. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. The Lord has painted us a picture in the Old Covenant about our deliverance in Jesus Christ. He sent Joseph to Egypt ahead of time, Leonard, get this, before they ever needed it. He sent Joseph to Egypt to become second in power, and while Joseph was there, there was a great famine after he's been raised up and second in power. And Pharaoh instructed him to gather into granaries and prepare for the 7 years of drought. He stored up so much grain, he finally quit counting it. It was innumerable. Well, it wasn't about storing up the grain. It wasn't about doing that for Egypt. It was about making a place for Israel. Because when Joseph was finished with his providing for everyone during the famine, he owned all the land in Egypt. He owned all the people. He owned all of their livestock. He had it all. So when Israel came to Egypt, it was a simple thing for the deliverer to provide for them. It's the picture of Jesus. Then, while they were there, they allowed themselves to take on the system of the world. They began to do things the way the world does. They began to take on false gods and all this. And they began to not put their trust in their Heavenly Father. And what happened? They became slaves. That's what sin does to you. That's what happens. We put your trust somewhere other than the Lord Jesus Christ and become a slave. But God in His mercy, God in His grace, sent another deliverer. His name is Moses. And he got there with great signs and wonders. God brought him out. This is incredible. They were slaves, Leonard. The most powerful nation on the earth had enslaved them. They were in a position where they could see no way out. There's no future. There's no hope. They had no capacity to deliver themselves. In and of themselves, they were not going to get out of here. But God was moving. God sent a man named Moses. In fact, 80 years before he sent him there, God was preparing the way. Amen? Well, Moses brought him out. Brought him across the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And all along the way, God was always delivering them and setting them free. Well, we find here another example. They encountered some difficulties and they went to Egypt and asked for help rather than going to the Lord. So I'm asking you this question again. What are you trusting in that you haven't gone to the Lord about? Where have you gone for help when you should have gone to the Lord Jesus? Are you and I relying on the world system to move forward? Are we trusting in what His Word says? Hello. It's so easy, isn't it, just to kind of do it the way it's happening. Well, you know, instead of trusting God for increase, go get a loan. Get a credit card. There's a better way. All I'm saying is, I'm asking you to ask yourself, where am I not trusting the Lord? And I'm saying, change it. Put your confidence in Him. Because whatever you're trusting in, that becomes your strength. That's why we're talking, I choose to rest in Him. Okay? So Isaiah 30, it says, verse 15. For thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest. Now, the context is they had not asked Him for help. They went to Egypt. Okay? So He says, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. It sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? Yeah. Man wandered away from the Father and His will, but He sent Jesus, and He said, now, if you'll return, if you'll come to me, if you'll turn, come to me, and rest in me, trust in me, you'll be saved. Well, that's what the Father is saying to you today, and we're talking about resting in Him. Wherever you find in your life that you're trusting in something other than what His Word has said, I want to caution you because it's not going to be able to deliver you. Hello, it doesn't mean we don't go to work. It doesn't mean we aren't wise. I'm saying, but I'm putting my confidence in Him while I'm doing that. So He wants us to take our eyes off of the world and the way it does things and put them over into His system, the kingdom of God, and rest in what He has said. And in that, you will be saved. Then He goes on to say, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Now, if you and I were honest with one another, more than likely we would admit that when you find yourself in a narrow place, in a tight place, in a place of distress, you get all, you're not quiet. No, your mind's going crazy. And you start looking for relief, and sometimes you forget that you can trust in Him to deliver you. Because we pray and then we open our eyes looking for the answer and we don't see it, we say, well, He didn't get it. He said this to the nation of Israel, and this is a picture to the church, to the body of Christ. He brought us out, right? He sent us a Savior, correct? He delivered us from bondage. Isn't that correct? Okay, now He says, as you're living this life, keep your attention on Me and rest in Me. And then He tells you what will bring you victory. Number one, get quiet. It's amazing when you get in the presence of God how quiet it gets. Up here and in here, it gets really quiet. You're not fighting worries. You're not fighting fears. You're not trying to figure it out. You're listening. God has something He wants to share with you. God's got an idea. He has a thought. He knows what needs to be done. He's way ahead of you. He's in your tomorrow, and it's going to be okay. He knows what you need to do. And if you get quiet and trust Him, that's what the word confidence means. If you get quiet and trust Him, that is your victory. That is your strength. I'm going to say it again. Your strength and your victory is not in what you can do in this given moment. Doesn't mean you aren't doing things. Okay? Your strength and your victory is not in what you can figure out by yourself. Your strength and your victory, Randy, is not in how many pieces of siding you can sell. Your strength and your victory, Wadey, is in getting quiet before Him and resting in Him. Trust in Him. Why? What's going to happen? You're going to see something. You're going to understand something. You're going to get some direction. He will show you what you need to do to overcome this enemy that you're facing. He said, you don't want to run down to Egypt because you'll be ashamed and embarrassed because they're not going to deliver you. He told Asa, he said, now, you shouldn't have gone to Syria. If you had trusted Me, I would have removed Syria from you, but now you're going to have wars forever. Oofta. Oh my gosh. So I can choose, see? That's what I'm trying to say. Today I can choose. I know that I'm facing a lot of stuff. Look, you're not facing any more stuff than I'm facing, okay? Everything is scary to the person that's facing it. I got that. But I can choose, and you can choose right now. Number one, I'm going to get quiet. Why? Because I know that he's for me. I know that he's on my side. And I know that this enemy that I'm facing is just temporary. And the greater one lives in me. And it's my quietness and my trust, that's where my victory is. Are you hearing me? But then he says, concerning the nation of Israel, but you would not. What a statement. So he shared with us in verse 15 there. I'm going to read it again. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you will be saved. Now that's instruction. That's insight. That's revelation knowledge. Whatever you're facing, don't run from his truth, run to it. And then he said, your victory is get quiet and rest in me. But you would not. what a terrible thing. He's trying to help him, Randy. Can you see that? He's trying to give him direction. He's trying to get their feet on the right path. He's trying to get them to see the correct vision. He's trying them to think the right, to be thinking the right things and speaking the right things. He said, now, I'm helping you. This is what will bring victory in your life. But after all of that, you would not. Oofta. So that brings us down here where that word saved there, I almost forgot that. In returning a rest, you shall be saved. The underlying idea of this verb is bringing to a place of safety or broad pasture, as opposed to a narrow strait symbolic of distress and danger. Now, I want you to go back to think about the nation of Israel in Egypt. They were slaves. That's a great picture. He sent Moses, and the Lord Jesus, through that man, brought them out of bondage and into the promised land. Right? He brought them out of a place where their life was restricted. They didn't have a life of their own. Their life was only to do what they were told. And it was hard labor, and it never ended. It was a burden to them. There was no joy in it. They had nothing. They would never have anything. They could not own anything. They could not claim anything as their own. They were slaves. But God brought them out of that. That's what he saved you, out of that, into a broad place where you've got choices. You can have your own home. You can have your own business. You can have your own, you can write your books. You can get an education. You can, whatever, okay? In Psalm 46, you don't need to turn there, but in Psalm 46, 10 through 11, it says, be still. Does anybody here not know what that means? How many of you, you don't need to raise your hand, but you would say, Pastor, I have to admit that when the pressure comes, I do anything but get still. I start running around. I start looking for this. I start looking for somebody to help, somebody to change it, something to make a difference. I get frantic about it because this has got to happen. If this doesn't happen, I'm going down the drain, and I don't want to go down the drain. I want something to happen, and I need it now. But God says, your victory is in get quiet and trust. So he said here in Psalm 46:10, and he says, be still and know, understand, comprehend that I am God. Do we ever forget that? We're walking through life and something challenges us and we go, oh! What happened? I forgot who's in me. I forgot who's with me. I forgot who's for me. I understand there's some really scary things that come against us in our lives. I understand that. But they are not God. They're not your God. Only if you yield to them are they your God. They're not your God as long as you yield to what the Father says and trust him. So be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. Say, he's with me. Say, the Lord is with me. Say it again. The Lord is with me. So when you're looking at the giants, You can stand out, you can say, God is for me, he's not for you. You got a problem, not me. The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That means he's our fortress. He's our high tower. He's our strength. He's the one that's protecting us. He's the one that's keeping us. He's the one that's going before us, beating down our enemies before our face. He is our rear guard. Yes? Well, verse 16 in Isaiah 30 says, and you said, no! No, I'm not going to rest in you. I'm not going to get quiet. I'm not going to trust you. I'm going to get me a fast horse. Leonard, you know, they used to build walls around cities to protect them. I don't think walls work very good today, do you? Not with missiles and satellites. I don't think that works anymore. So no, Randy, they said, no, we're going to get us a fast horse. Actually, New Living Translation says, Egypt's going to give us fast horses, and we're going to flee. Well, just one problem with that. The Lord says, the enemy has fast horses. Hello? See, if you're going to trust in the horse, that's it. That's as far as you can go. You trust in your military might. That's as far as you can go. All right. No, for we will flee on horses. Therefore, you shall flee. We will ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. Oh, my goodness. Go with me to Zephaniah. Y'all love Zephaniah. There's a book, the table of contents in the beginning of your Bible. Zephaniah. It's in the Old Covenant. Starts with a Z, Leonard. Okay. You know, Wadey, back there where you read every day. Zephaniah. 14. Zephaniah 3, verse 14. Zephaniah 3, verse 14. He says, sing, O daughter of Zion. Now, it will help you to understand that, and I've said this many times, in the Old Covenant, these are pictures of what he's going to do for us in Christ. He gave us a picture of what sin does, how it destroys, and he brought deliverers and what he's bringing us to. And he says here, oh, sing, O daughter of Zion. He's trying to tell him, start rejoicing. You've got a reason to rejoice. You know what, Randy? You can't rest if you're not rejoicing. Not because God doesn't want you to, and not because he's standing against you, but you just won't give yourself a chance to rest. Think about that, Sharon. The reason you're not resting is because you chose not to. Isn't that disgusting? Just sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Verse 15 says, the Lord has taken away your judgments. Now, if that isn't a picture of Jesus Christ, Jesus went on the cross, shed his blood, and you know what happened? All those ordinances that were standing against you, all those judgments that were standing against you, they got cleaned away with the blood of Jesus. When you believe on Christ, they were removed. Now, Zion is a picture of the church. And he says, now I want you to start rejoicing, Leonard. I want you to start rejoicing because there's nothing standing against you between you and your Father. There is no judgment, Clark, that's saying you're guilty. Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Period. Hello. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He said, sing out and shout for joy that Jesus has removed all the obstacles in your life that were standing between you and your Father. That is so incredible. That is so important because the doorway is open. The conduit between heaven and you is clean. It's full. It's open. He has cast out your enemy. Well, now, did not Jesus take care of the enemy? Did he not? Did he not remove all of your sins away from you as far as the east is from the west? Did he not make an open show of the devil triumphing over him in the cross? Did he not take all the ordinances standing against you and nail them to the cross? Did he not tell you that I have given you authority over the enemy, and over, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the supernatural power of the enemy. I give you authority over the enemy. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. He says, you lay your hands on the sick in Jesus' name, the sick will recover. You cast out devils, the devils will flee. Did he not? He has cast out your enemy. Listen, Emma, there is no enemy against you. I'm not saying there's not an enemy out there. I'm saying he has no power over you. He has no authority in your life. He cannot prevail. God said, I want you to return unto me, and I want you to rest, because in quietness and confidence, that's your victory. Wow. So the Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the King of Israel, who would that be? Somebody tell me, who would that be? Would that be Jesus? Amen. Is that the one in Revelation that's got this two-edged sword coming out of his mouth? He's got on his white clothes, and there's this robe where his name is on the side. It says King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's leading the great army, and out of his mouth comes that two-edged sword. He's defeated. Is that the one we're talking about? Is that the one that's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem? Is that the one that we're going to reign with forever and ever? That's the one? The one that's seated high above, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come? Is it the one, Randy, who upholds all things with the word of his power? Is this the one where John chapter 1 says he is the Word and he is God and all things were created for him, by him, and through him? Is that the one? Oh, my goodness. That's why he said, get quiet. Because the Lord, your God. Do you understand, don't you, that if he's for you, he's not for your enemy? And if he is the only God and there is none other, he's the mighty God in your midst. Amen? So he says, the King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. He said, you shall see disaster no more. That's a promise to Israel. It's a promise to the body of Christ. Verse 16, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not what? Do not what? Do not what? He probably would, that's probably just a suggestion. Now the reason he says don't fear is because fear is not an emotion, a feeling, it's a spirit. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Anytime you're yielding to fear, it's got you on the wrong path. It's leading you in the wrong direction. And I would say, don't ever make a decision because you're afraid. Leonard, he says, do not. Do not. Whose choice is it, Leonard? Do not. You know, fear can't take that away from you. That choice, I choose not to fear. Why? Because the King lives in me. Hallelujah. It says, don't fear and don't let your hands be weak. In other words, don't hesitate to go about your work. Don't hesitate to do what I tell you to do. Don't hesitate to be productive. I'm with you. The enemy can't stop you. Then he goes down to verse 17. The Lord your God. Say, the Lord my God. Say it again. The Lord my God. You might say, the one who is supreme in authority is my God. I know we know that in here, but we forget it. Cancer shows up in your house, you're not God. Jesus is. Lose your job, Jesus is still Lord. Lack of job is not a problem. You can get another one. Divorce, life is not over. God will give you another partner. Okay? So you've done something you shouldn't. Terrible. You're ashamed. You're embarrassed. It's not over. He's still Lord. He wants you to rest in something, Randy. He wants you to rest in what he's promised you, who he is, and what he said he'd do for you. He is the Lord, your God. If he's my God, he's not the devil's God. Deuteronomy 28 says, he goes before me, beats down all my enemies before my face. I like that. I say, sick 'em, Jesus. The Lord your God is in your midst. He's the mighty one. He's the almighty one. He's the all-powerful one. He's in your midst. Jess, he's in your house. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That phrase, rejoice over you with singing, this is what it says about that. It means to spin around under the influence of any violent emotion. Your Heavenly Father gets beside himself when you choose to trust and rest in him. Amen. Amen. Well, I think I'm just going to close. We've got 5 minutes, but I want to go ahead, Randy.